As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a Friday news dump edition. Auburn is keeping Brian Harsin, and the first person who mentioned that might be a possibility to me was this man, Aaron Suttles, our Alabama beat writer, who put that in our Slack chat late Wednesday. Was it late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, Aaron? Right. You're like, I think they might be keeping him.
Yeah. And no one believed me at the time.
I sure didn't.
Well, why would you? I mean, if you look at the way that thing was trending, I don't know if it was you that put it out on Twitter today, and I thought it was well received. That the call was coming from inside the house. Was that you?
Wasn't me. But that does sound about right. That's a good way to put it.
This whole investigation was started internally, leaked to the media, put on message boards, and you know, I like you were talking before we started recording. I'm really rooting for Brian Harsin in all this. He's been drugged through the mud. Imagine going on vacation, a great place like Mexico. You're just trying to relax. That was nothing of a relaxing vacation. That had to have been.
I'm sure the timing of this had nothing to do with it. Like that he went on vacation, right, and then all of a sudden this blows up. It was a total inside job. And Jay Googe, the president of Auburn, who deserves quite a bit of blame here because he's the one who officially acknowledged it last Friday by saying they had a decision to make.
Yep.
Tisking everyone.
Yeah. Give me a
in
break.
His statement. No. That's BS.
Yeah.
You all did this to your guy, and now you want to blame everybody else?
Nobody internally from Auburn other than Brian Harsin has the standing behind them to say to tiss anyone. Like, you started this. You put this man through that. You put his family through that. There were rumors that put an extended family through that, that put a young lady that works at Auburn through all of this. It's disgusting, a lot of it. It's shameful.
And well, what legal recourse to some of these people? Like, is there a way to figure out who planted some of these things on the message board and sue them? I don't know. If I were Brian Harsin, I just want to get some of them alone in a room.
Yeah. I mean, like, and let's be clear. Like, I don't think anyone, like, officially with Auburn put that young lady in this, but people that support Auburn did. And
that's the craziest part. And you haven't heard us talking about that rumor on this show. You haven't seen us writing about it because that's one of those things that you don't acknowledge if there's no verification, because you're just going to drag people through the mud and it might be wrong and it might be done with ill intent, which I think it was in this case. And so here's what Brian Harsin said in his statement. He said, "This has been one of the hardest weeks of my career and it had nothing to do with my coaching ability. The personal attacks on me and my family went too far and were without justification. Their resolve through this experience has been incredible, but also completely expected. We saw and felt the worst of the worst in some people. Fortunately, we also saw the best of the best in others, and we'll always be grateful for the support of so many through a difficult time." And he goes on to thank the players who supported him and everybody else. I said they need to part ways. They need to pay Brian Harsin his money and let him go. One, because of this, but two, because it's a bad fit. It's not going to work. They're going to fire him anyway. They're going to pay him anyway. But this just makes it so much worse.
It does. And I'm glad, listen, the human being part of me, I'm glad he didn't absolve any of the people that have been making his life hell and his family's life hell.
No, he should get every penny from them.
And I'm glad you didn't read it, but part of his statement, he says, you know, talking about himself as a husband, that was very pointed.
Like, yes,
he's saying, I didn't do anything. I didn't step outside my marriage.
And right. He said, I know who I am as a husband, father, and football coach, and cooperated fully throughout this process.
He put husband first. He didn't put football coach first. He put husband first.
Yeah. No, and so I am glad he dug his heels in on this, because they should have to pay him every single penny. And they're going to let him coach this year. They're going to probably fire him after this year because it's not going to work.
Well, they thought he was going to accept a negotiated buyout.
Yeah.
Reduced buyout. And he said, no.
Good.
This is your making. I didn't do anything here.
Yeah. That's the part I don't know why you prolong this unless you just don't have the money. I know half the money would be due in 30 days, and then it's 4 equal annual installments after that. So they'd have to come up with $9 million right away. Maybe they didn't have that. I don't know, but when you think it couldn't get any dumber, this happens. Because all of this, Aaron, and I wrote this on Friday, it could have all been done behind the scenes.
Sure.
They could have asked questions, never acknowledged it publicly, and it would have never really, really risen beyond like message board wives' tale.
Let me ask you, Randy, if this wasn't so public facing, so forward facing, they had gone to him behind the scenes, do you think he still wants to be there, or do you think he dug in just because of a matter of principle? Like, if you had gone to him before all this went on message boards and played out the way it did, if you said, listen, this isn't working out, we're not the best fit, you're probably not, don't feel like the best fit here, what if we just give you this and you go somewhere else? You think he would have taken it?
No, I think you would have dug in, and I would have dug in too. I think everybody would have. If they had a contract and it said, you got to pay me this much if you want to get rid of me, I don't blame him at all for digging in. And he ought to get more out of him after this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think if this had been handled all behind the scenes, it would have resulted in the same thing, but maybe never gotten as public as it did. It probably would have gotten out in some kind of innuendo form, but it never would have been the president of the university saying, we have to make a decision. Once you say you have to make a decision, we know you're trying to fire him. So
they were very publicly trying to fire him.
Yeah.
And to the point where they're drafting new bylaws for the university while he's on vacation.
It's it is amazing. And this is a program that can be successful. That's the part. They won the national title 12 years ago. They played for the national title 9 years ago. They won the SEC West 5 years ago. None of this is ancient history. Like, Auburn can be better than this, but you can't do it now with this. Like, the guy was not recruiting well from the start. I mean,
doesn't understand the SEC well enough to recruit.
Right. Doesn't know what he doesn't know. And you could tell him that now, but it's too late. Because now you've kneecapped him completely. Even if he'd come back from vacation and said, okay, I get it. The first 14 months I was here, I did not recruit the way I should have. We're going to fix everything. We're going to schedule our junior days 8 months in advance and make sure they're not on the same day as Alabama's junior day, and make sure that they coincide with big basketball weekends and all that stuff. We're going to get out there and try to get the best players. We're going to use all the NIL, stuff and all of that to our advantage. It doesn't matter now, because if I'm Nick Saban, Brian Kelly, Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, Mike Norvell, Billy Napier, Dabo Sweeney, all the people who are recruiting the kind of players that Auburn should want, I'm just like, well, you saw it happen. Yeah. You think he's going to be there?
Well, and I wrote this. This is you're used to it in Florida and Georgia's risen up, but Alabama produces its fair share per capita.
And 23 especially.
They've got 5 5 stars. They got 11 players in the top 100. 11, including players at Central Phoenix City, which is just down the road from Auburn, including Montgomery. And these guys aren't even on – Auburn's not even on their list, Andy. And by the way, spring practice starts in about a month. They don't have an offensive coordinator.
Yes, right. Because the guy that Brian Harsin hired, Austin Davis, had no experience recruiting in college. I don't know if that's why he quit. All we've heard are rumors about why he quit, and they all seem to support one side, whether you want to believe that Brian Harsin made a horrific hire or that there was something, you know, that they didn't know when they hired him that caused this. But it was a bad hire on Brian Harsin's part. Like, hire someone who understands where you are. Like, you had Mike Bobo. I'm assuming the hire of Mike Bobo was somebody told Brian Harsin, listen, you need an SEC Sherpa, and he's about as SEC as it gets. But they fired him right after the season.
And people knew it was coming. Yeah. And then you lose Derek Mason. Why? Derek Mason is not an SEC guy. He's been in the SEC as a head coach.
He's an SEC head coach for 7 years, yeah.
And he takes much less money to go to Oklahoma State. So, I mean, the writing's on the wall. You're right. This is not going to work out. And I think Brian Harsin, I watched his Auburn team. This whole thing when the players were talking about they didn't want to play hard for Brian Harsin, they didn't like him. They played awful hard against Alabama.
Well, I think the majority of that roster will play hard for him. I think they may get something out of this, at least in the locker room, because it may galvanize the players behind Brian Harsin, which, look, I hope that works out for him. I just, unfortunately, they have to play Alabama and Georgia every year. They have to play LSU and Texas A&M every year. Yeah. I don't know, and I don't know what you do at this point because, and I'm sure the internal conversation with the money people and the administration at Auburn was, well, if we fire him now, people are going to think we're a bunch of clowns and we're not going to be able to hire anybody good. I don't know how to break this to you guys. In November, everybody's going to still think you're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah. And you talked about maybe not having the stomach to just pay his full buyout. Well, they're still paying Gus Malzahn. They just handed over Bruce Pearl a lot of money to coach basketball in the SEC. They are, they're building some football facilities there on campus. They got a lot of expenditures right now, and they've gone to their boosters when they screwed up the Gus Malzahn extension. And so that's why this doesn't feel – it feels so familiar with Auburn, because they can point to, well, we've only had four coaches since 1982 or whatever they want to say. But, yeah, but you spent every offseason trying to fire Gus Malzahn, which puts you in the media – trying to get rid of your coach. So whether you got rid of him or not, that after the end of each season, you went through that public relations nightmare. I mean, it's part of it at all.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Brian Harsin is the first... Is he the first Auburn coach in how long to not either... No, he's only been there a year. Maybe he can pull this off. We're saying he probably can't, but to win the SEC or go undefeated. Because Gus did that. Tommy Tuberville did that. Terry Bowden did that. Pat Dye did that.
I mean, Auburn, as you mentioned, they're always sort of in the shadow of Alabama, but if you look what they've done, Gus Malzahn beat Nick Saban more than anybody else. So they've done great things. It just never felt like a fit there from day one when the boosters were trying to force Kevin Steele and try to sort of push him in, and then Alan Green sort of won that battle. He's lost it now, and he's been strangely quiet throughout this.
So here's what I'm wondering: is this even possible? Because I think you saw what Auburn tried to do when they fired Gus. They tried to hire Billy Napier. They talked to Brent Venables. Are you a little surprised now that you've seen some other schools in action, they didn't try to do what USC did or what LSU did, where they just tried to get a massive name?
Yeah. I think it would be tough right now.
It'll be impossible now. But
their roster right now is they're not going to be projected high in the SEC next year. And it gets worse in 2023 and 2024. I mean, they didn't sign anybody on signing day, Andy.
Yeah.
And I know the portal and this one time allowing seven players to come in to add to the 25 can help. But you adding a portal guy is not the same as you adding a 4 or 5 year guy.
It's right. And if you're going to add portal guys, add them the way Lane Kiffin did. Yeah. And that'll be – because there's still a chance. Like, Harsin will have a chance to try to recruit portal guys post-spring. Yeah. There's going to be another wave of this. So maybe he can make things a little bit better. But if I were him, I'd just keep my head down, coach these guys as best I can. You know, look at this team as best you can. As far as the recruiting part goes, I mean, how hard do you have to recruit at this point? You got to make sure you're keeping your job and not giving them a reason to fire you for cause, but that's really about it.
And it got a lot harder in the Southeast to recruit this offseason.
Yeah.
But Billy Napier's now at Florida. Mario, watch out for Mario at Miami.
Yes, I agree.
And now you got, you know, Kirby doing what he does at Georgia, and you sort of get the sense that Dabo's going to be back, and it's tough to recruit. And now you, with this coaching staff in particular, no one really takes you seriously. So they're behind the eight ball.
How much does what Kirby has done at Georgia, how much does that, has that affected Auburn psychologically? Because that is your every year East opponent. That's not, you know, like if you're LSU, you're not as worried about what they're doing. If you're Alabama, you probably are worried because you see them in the SEC championship game. But like for Auburn, you got to see them every year. The biggest city nearest you is their capital city.
And listen, it's working in basketball, because if Georgia had a basketball
team, yeah,
to keep basketball talent in the state, they would be where Auburn is in basketball.
Right. I mean, that was a great example. As Auburn goes up to Stegman Coliseum last weekend, nearly loses, doesn't. But you're looking at like, oh wait, Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler, and then one of their players is a transfer from Georgia, but the other guys were from Georgia.
And historically, if you look at Auburn football rosters, they rely very heavily upon two states outside of Alabama, and that's Georgia and Florida.
Yeah.
And it's tougher than ever. It's going to be tougher than ever. I mean, I don't know what Norvell is going to do at Florida State, but I know the way Billy Napier recruits. I especially know the way Mario recruits, the way Nick recruits Florida. It's going to be tough going for Auburn for a few years.
Yeah, I am curious, because the Napier and Cristobal thing really does ratchet up the intensity. I almost wonder, though, I was thinking about this today, because you did see Jimbo get Texas A&M into that number one spot. Kirby obviously has produced some great classes at Georgia over the last few years. If it gets spread out more at the top, does that allow another school to get in more easily, if it's not just one school bigfooting everybody like Alabama was for so long? Yeah.
I think, you know, recruiting is part of it. You were in a program, and it's, you got to develop it too. I mean, Jerry DiNardo recruited at LSU. I mean, go back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, recruiting is a big part of it, but I mean, Jimbo's got a history of what he did at Florida State. Kirby's now got one under his belt. I think it's only a matter of time. You just sort of get the feeling with the talent in close proximity to Gainesville that Billy's going to do it, especially playing in the East. So it doesn't. I mean, I like what Tennessee did last year, but they don't have the recruiting to compete with Georgia. So right. I think it's really going to, and the East is going to come down to, I think Florida's going to get there. And now, who knows what Brian Kelly's going to do at LSU, and then we know what Jimbo the talent he has. So it's, the SEC is going to be a lot tougher than it's been in a few years.
And oh, by the way, Oklahoma and Texas are coming. So you've got to deal with that level of player that they can get.
Where do you put Auburn with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma in tier's program? Where would you put them, 1 to 16?
That's a good question. Okay. All right. So we're adding Oklahoma and Texas into the league. So the tier, if we're doing the tiers, Alabama and Georgia are 1 and 1A. And then it goes down from there. I'd say Texas A&M, LSU.
LSU's there, yeah.
Now Florida, I don't know if Florida's there yet. We think Florida can get there under Billy Napier, but I think you got to prove that.
Yeah.
So I think LSU and A&M are kind of there. And then you got Florida, Kentucky, Ole Miss, or is Ole Miss not there?
Probably. Absolutely.
But I think Auburn's in that bunch right now, or can be in that bunch, yeah, and has the upward mobility. Like the thing about Auburn can be in the top tier. There's no reason why it can't be. It's a great campus, incredible football atmosphere, great football history. They care deeply about it. If they just get out of their own way, they can be in that top tier.
I agree. I mean, I have questions about their consistently being able to do it. But, you know, they're one of those teams that, listen, I go down to Jordan here once every other year, and it's incredibly – go look at Nick Saban's results there.
Oh, I'm telling you, like there are days there, like when Auburn is good, there are days where you could have the 85 Bears come in.
It's incredible.
And they won't win.
Auburn was not a very good football team this year. They're okay.
Yeah.
And they dominated that football game against Alabama. Dominated
it. Yeah. So that's what makes me sad about all this, because it is a great football program. It should be a great football program that competes regularly for SEC and national titles. And when you make decisions like this, which just is basically doubling down on a bad decision you already made, but then you made it worse by trying to go behind the guy's back. Like, that's what frustrates
me. You have to get in sync at every level, and they're not.
Yeah.
What's going to take?
Well, it's interesting. Like our friend Cole Kubelik put this out there earlier when he was saying that it looked like they were going to keep Brian Harsin. He's saying, you know, everybody realizes things have to change. Yeah. The question is, will the you know, trustees at Auburn, who have typically been pretty heavy-handed in all this, will they ever get to the point where the Alabama people are and have been since Nick Saban got there?
And people will point to, what was the biggest thing Nick Saban did when he gets to Alabama? And a lot of people always point, well, he recruited that great 2008 class. And it was. It started before then. He let the people know, the boosters, I'm making the decision.
Right.
And it was understood. Auburn's not there. And now there's a vacuum of power because there's a new president coming in. Mm-hmm. The AD's got 5 months left on his contract. And there's this football. It's going to be wrestling for power. So whoever they bring in has got to have a very strong personality.
Yeah. And they're going to need to bring in – I think they need to bring in a strong AD who can get those people under control. I don't know if it's possible. It's not easy. But you have situations where – you know, you look at Danny White going into Tennessee. Now, I think he went in at an advantageous time where the two warring factions at Tennessee had kind of been pro-Fulmer and anti-Fulmer. And with Philip Fulmer getting pushed out, the pro-Fulmer faction was weakened. And Danny could come in and say, listen, I'm in charge now. We're doing it this way. But you've seen that when, you know, I think, it, you know, Scott Woodward, who is the current AD at LSU, was the AD at Texas A&M when they hired Jimbo Fisher. He had autonomy, but that was because their chancellor, John Sharp, had gotten everybody together already. Like, if you go back to when A&M was trying to decide whether to stay in the Big 12 or go to the SEC, they were not aligned at all until the Longhorn Network pissed them off enough to be like, no, we all want to go to the SEC. And all of a sudden, you saw more aligned Texas A&M, and it became a little more powerful entity. So that's what Auburn's got to get figured out. Maybe, you know, they just hired a new president. He was the dean of the engineering school. He's been there. Maybe he can help. Maybe whoever they bring in as the AD after Alan Green, because Green's contract, I looked it up, runs through January 31st, 2023. So we'll see how long that lasts, because I would think if they do move on Harsin after the season, they're probably going to want a different AD making the hire. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Andy, you cover the – I just cover one school. You cover a lot of schools. You're national. Have you ever seen a situation like this where you didn't hear from the AD?
Yes, once. Randy Spetman, when Florida State pushed out Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
You're firing a legend, and the athletic director has nothing to say. Randy Spetman is not a guy who'd be afraid of anything. The man was an Air Force pilot, like, very brave guy. But clearly – was not in a place in their power structure where he had any decision-making power or anything to say about anything. Because I remember I was with Andrew Carter, who now works for the Raleigh News and Observer, but Andrew was covering Florida State for the Orlando Sentinel at the time. And the day that Bobby Bowden got fired, we tried to get Randy Spetman to talk to us, and basically he ran into an elevator to get away from us.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was crazy.
I found Alan Green not being a part of that press release today very odd.
But they've telegraphed that. They've made it very clear that they don't feel like he's in their future plans. So,
and he hired Brian Harsin. So
yeah, after winning a power struggle against the people who wanted Kevin Steele, and that's why I keep going back to if those people, because like Scott Woodward had Jimbo Fisher lined up before he fired Kevin Sumlin. If those people had somebody lined up that wasn't Kevin Steele, that wasn't on campus, where it didn't look like it was a palace coup, how different does this all work out?
Yeah, I think they underestimated Brian Harsin's ability to dig in and fight.
Well, good for him. I may be critical of his recruiting, but I am very impressed with the way he handled all this I would not have been as calm as he's been through all this. I would have been saying some ridiculous things and, you know, probably giving them a reason to fire me for cause.
And in a very political way, that statement he released today was pretty strong.
It was.
When you're playing politics. I mean, he didn't absolve him from anything.
And he knows where it all came from.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Gouge can say it came from internet rumors and media, but no, it didn't. It came from inside the house.
And some of the coverage of it too, it was being leaked. They wanted certain stories out at certain times, and it didn't work.
Well, we'll see what happens. I have a feeling this is going to get uglier before it gets better. One of the commenters at the bottom of my story on Friday, I wish I could. I want to make sure I give this person credit, so hopefully I can find it. Yes, Chad, one of our lovely readers at The Athletic, war damn lame duck is what he said.
I mean, that's what it is, and it's going to cost them this recruiting class. It's going to cost them you know how recruiting works. You're recruiting juniors now.
Yep.
They're going to fall behind a couple classes.
All right, well, start saving your pennies, Auburn folks, because you're going to have to pay that buyout anyway at some point, and then start all this over and try to do better next time. That's all I ask. We'll talk to you later.